Hey, 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 it's your favorite career coach, Crystal Williams, and I'm back in the Peculiar Palace on the mic again this week to not only empower and position you to be all you can be to thrive in your career, but to also give you peculiar strategies that infuse faith to accelerate in your 9-to-5 career journey. Let's jump into the episode. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Career Prosperity Prayer Call. Y'all, as usual, I am just so excited to join each and every one of you all every Monday morning at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time to collectively say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for how far you have brought us from. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this very moment. And thank you, Lord, for what you have in store for us in the future. And so wherever you're at, just give God some praise. Give God some praise because he is forever worthy. And so for that, we just simply say thank you. So yes, today is a holiday here in the U.S. However, we don't take no breaks from doing the prayer call. We just don't because we don't take no breaks from praying. If anything, I'm definitely going to send you a prayer via my text messaging list. So if you're not on it, definitely join it. The way to do so is going to be in the notes beyond the, well, when I post the video. Okay. And so let's get into it, y'all. I don't want to be up here too long, but I definitely want to give y'all this good word the Lord gave me to share with you all. Okay. And so I got a couple of things the Lord wanted me to share with you. And so as I was cleaning and packing up my house, and if you don't know, I am transitioning out of my house and we are putting our house up for rent, so of course we got to clean it out and stuff like that. So in the midst of cleaning the house out, y'all, I found this book. I don't know, maybe I bought it, somebody bought it for me, not sure, but this is an elementary school book and it's called I Knew You Could. And so if you all are familiar with the story of the engine, the little engine that could, it's about a train that was going up a hill, hadn't gone up a hill before, but as they kept going up the hill, it says, the train says, I think I can. And so this one is like the other version of that. I knew you could. And so basically he's gone up the hill. And so this one is more so a book for all the stops in your life. And so one thing, and this relates to what we talked about last week, we talked about not looking back, staying forward, focused, right? And not looking back, because when we look back, there is distractions as to the reason why we look back in our daily life, right? Distractions from moving forward in our career, distractions from moving forward with our business ideas or just in life in general, there are distractions, okay? And so we don't want to deal with the distractions, right? We want to say, no time for the distractions. We got too much work to do here in this earthly realm to be distracted, right? And so when I looked at the last page of this book, I don't know what drew me to the last page, but I was just like, all right, I'm gonna flip through this book, and I landed on the last page of the book, right? It says, try to remember that the world is so wide, full of all kinds of people with their own trains to ride. Just stay true to yourself as you travel your track with no second guessing and no looking back. And so I just declare and decree this morning that we stay focused on what God has called us to do in this earthly realm. Don't second guess or doubt the hand of God over your life, because listen, if God gave it to you, he will definitely see you through it. And like the book says, and no looking back, and no looking back, stay on your track. Emphasis on your track, because if you're looking back, or if you're looking to the side, looking to the left, looking to the right, whatever, you're on your colleague's track, you're on your family member's track, you're on whomever else's track, and not on your track. But you got to stay forward focused and be on your track in this earthly realm, okay? All right, so repeat after me. No comparison, no comparison. And I know it's hard, y'all, but no comparison. And so I wanted to bring you to this scripture that I also found in the midst of cleaning up, and it aligns to what we just talked about. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 7. So 2 Timothy, and I'm putting this in my computer, because we real live this morning, okay? We real live, and I just want to double check to make sure that this is it. This is it. And so, yeah, so 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." So, again, that you may have read, this is the NIV version, the NIV, New International Version, I just read from. And some of the scriptures, some of the versions may say, "For the Spirit God gave us does not, for God did not give us a spirit of fear." This is that same scripture, okay? And so in this NIV, it states, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline," okay? Self-discipline. And so on this sticky note that I found, and I was always, who loves sticky notes? Because I love a good sticky note. I had sticky notes all over my desk because they were notes and reminders to keep going, encouraging notes and reminders to keep going, scripture references to keep going and to reflect on. And so, listen, as you are going throughout life, definitely have reminders to yourself physically and look within too, of course, because we had the word of the Lord within our heart. So that means we know it. So we are able to regurgitate it when things occur. But back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, I said on this sticky note, I said, "Don't allow people or things around you to create fear in you. Don't be scared. Believe in the power of God that lives in you. Have confidence in private and public." Ooh, I'm gonna say that last part again. Have confidence in private and public. Listen, there are so many things that God is working on within us, right? He works on within us in private. He works on us in private, right? So that when we do get in public, we are able to speak boldly about our testimonies, but speak boldly also about what he has given us and what he has entrusted us to carry on or to carry in this earthly realm, right? And so again, be confident in private and in public, right? So whatever God has given you, it is not just to stay quiet or sheltered in within you. This is to be pushed out to the world. It's to be pushed out to the world in due time, in due season, right? And so, but there's a developmental piece that goes along with this too. And so as God is developing you, and as you build your relationship and get closer with God, he is going to direct your path and share with you, "Hey, this is the time, this is the season for you to produce the work that I've been work or the work that I gave to you. Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's a course. Maybe it's a you getting out there and doing public speaking of some sort in line with the industry you're in within your career journey. Okay. And so, my friends, I just say all of that because I don't want you to be fearful or timid to use your gifts, that God has given you in this season. Be bold about it. Okay. Be bold about it and pray this simple prayer: God, shine your light through me so that others don't see me, but they see you when I speak, when I show up in the room. It's less of me, but more of you. Less of me, but more of you. So every time I do these prayer calls, yes, it's like less of me, Lord, but more of you. More of you. I don't do this for fame or anything like that. I do this out of the obedience of being obedience to the call that God has given me. All right. Specifically in the professional development realm. So y'all, don't be fearful. Don't be timid. Okay. Okay. Let's really get into the message that I have for y'all today. Okay. Cause I know that was a whole word in itself, but let's get into it. So don't laugh, y'all. Don't laugh, but do laugh, because I want to be really raw, really real with y'all. And so this past, what was it? I don't even know. It wasn't this weekend. It wasn't this past weekend. It was last week at some point. Randomly came across an episode of My 600-Pound Life where the lady had a very, very traumatic experience. And she said food made her happy. Okay. Food made her happy. So she ate and became 800 pounds. Before she knew it, she was 800 pounds. She was just like, I don't even know how we got here. Although we do know how she got here. She was really depressed. She had experienced something traumatic, and she just turned to food for comfort. She turned to food for happiness. She turned to food for joy and all the things. And all of a sudden she became 800 pounds. And so she found joy in food, that food ultimately became her idol, right? Food became an idol to her and a go-to for help to feel the pain she felt. So basically she was stress eating. How many of y'all have stress ate? I mean, I have before, but not to that point. And so, and it won't ever be to that point. God forbid. But, and God forbid for you. But that episode, y'all, let me tell you something. I was like, God, why in the world did I randomly come across this episode on YouTube? I wasn't even flipping through the TV. This is YouTube. And I think I was looking at some content or whatever. And then when you go to your homepage or what, some things just randomly pop up. And I was just like, God, why did this randomly pop up on my page, on my feed? And I have no ties to this show. Never really watched the show, knew about the show, but didn't watch the show. And so I'm like, God, what are we doing? Like, what is this? So that episode, y'all, that episode metaphorically showed me how the lack of self-control, you see where I'm going here? The lack of self-control with anything can impact one's future. I'm going to say this again. So hear me clearly and hear me loudly. That episode of My 600-Pound Life metaphorically showed me how the lack of self-control with anything can impact one's future. So in this case, it was eating the food. She was just out of control. And trauma eating almost ended her life, right? And it's called gluttony. That's called gluttony. I know y'all have heard of that, but of course, I got to give you a textbook version or textbook definition of what gluttony even is. So gluttony, my friends, is the habitual overindulgence and overconsumption of something or anything to the point of excess or waste. For any material, excess is waste. So while primarily associated with overeating or drinking, the concept can apply to an excessive desire for any material pleasure, resource, or distraction that draws focus away from moderation and self-control. I'm gonna say that last part again. Gluttony. We talking about the word gluttony and what it means, right? Is the habitual overindulgent and overconsumption of anything to the point of excess or waste. While primarily associated with overeating or drinking, the concept of gluttony can apply to an excessive desire for any material pleasure, resource, or distraction that draws focus away from moderation and self-control or self-discipline. So, now that we know the textbook version of gluttony, how many of you all can just be honest with yourself and be like, ooh, glutton. I've been glutton over a few things, right? I've been glutton not just over food. I've been over consuming maybe too much of that TV. I've been over consuming too much of that particular information. I've been over consuming or overdoing it or desiring this particular resource or material pleasure to distract me away from what God is calling me to do in this season. How many of y'all can really say, oh yes, I have displayed some gluttony? There has been gluttony in my life. How many of y'all can say that, right? How many of y'all can say that? And so what we really need to focus on, what we've been really talking about, and there's a theme with this, is being disciplined, displaying more self-discipline. Had this person in the show, My 600 Pound Life, displayed more self-discipline, they would have never even touched the weight of 800 pounds, right? No, not at all. But how many of y'all could say and think back, had I displayed more self-discipline when it comes to writing the book, when it comes to creating the course, when it comes to applying for the jobs, when it came to networking, when it came to really putting my mind to how I should really be studying for this interview or studying for the test or just really operating in excellence. How many of y'all can really say there was a lack of discipline there? But had I had more self-discipline in this season, then I would have probably gotten there at a faster rate, or I would have gotten there without with ease, with a little bit more ease, or I would have gotten there without so many twists and turns and things of that nature. But listen, we go through certain things and God will show us on our journey of lack of self-discipline. God will show us. He will be like, put things in our path like, hey, I need you to wake up. I need you to really pay attention. Remember, I told you to do this. Remember, I shared with you to go this way or to do that or speak to said person. Remember. And so throughout the path, we're convicted, hopefully, we are convicted to do what it is that God has called us to do in this earthly realm. But
in the midst of lack of self-discipline, listen, you know, anything could happen, right? Anything could happen. And so I went further in this and I said, God, okay, so what exactly do you want me to pull from this? What more do you want me to pull from this? And so going back when I said she found joy in food in the My 600 Pound Life episode, she found joy in food that became an idol to her, an idol. And so I looked up, I'm not even going to go into the detail of what the idol is, right? But in this case, it says in the New Testament, it warns against making an idol out of fleshly desires, okay? And fleshly desires are those material pleasures, resources, or distractions that draws focus away from moderation and self-control, self-discipline, right? And so Philippians 3:19, my friends, it states that for those whose minds are set on earthly things, their God is their stomach. Their God is their stomach, meaning they're wanting to satisfy their flesh. That's what that means. They want to satisfy the flesh. They want to satisfy the flesh instead of being disciplined, right? Instead of being disciplined. And so just to further break this scripture down, their destiny is destruction, right? They're headed for eternal separation from God rather than separation. You just got to go with me further deeper in this, because when I was looking at this, I was like, God, this is saying so much. It says their destiny, this is the scripture, Philippians 3:19, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. And so when you break it down, when it talks about their destiny is destruction, that means they are headed for eternal separation from God rather than salvation. And I don't know about y'all, but I never want to be separated from my God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I never want to be separated or apart from my God. And so it then goes on to say their God is their stomach. And so that's that idolization part and trying to really satisfy the flesh. They are driven, when we talk about their God is their stomach, this means they are driven by their base, earthly appetites, physical desires, and immediate gratification. Just think about when you are stress eating or when you are overindulging in something. You know for a fact that ain't good, right? An overindulgence of anything that you identify as not good. You're like, I know I should not be eating this. I know I should not be doing this right now, but I'm going to do it because of whatever reason. And so that's when you are desiring your flesh, right? And you're looking for immediate gratification, especially with the stress eating part. It's like, oh, I just need something. Oh, that felt good going down. But I know I shouldn't have had it. All right. And then it says their glory is their shame. So when you think about that, it's when they boast about and take pride in behaviors they should actually be ashamed of, right? And then it says their mind is set on earthly things. They are exclusively focused on worldly matters, living only for the present life rather than eternity. And so one thing we don't want to be focused on so much are worldly matters, because they can serve as what? Distractions. And what do we talk about in the beginning, the very beginning of the prayer call? How we cannot be distracted. It's too much God needs for us to do, or has called for us to do. We got to stay focused. We got to stay focused in our lane, focus on the track and or the path God has us on in this season of our lives, okay? And so, God, we thank you for allowing us to stay focused. Can we just say that? God, thank you for allowing me to stay focused. Focus on what you have called for me to do in this earthly realm. Have me not satisfy my fleshly desires, because this flesh, it could get, can and will get in the way. But we have to display self-discipline. We have to activate that discipline gene within us, right? To read God's word, to be more focused, to do what he has called us to do, right? All right. So let me go back to my notes, because I feel like there is definitely something else the Lord wanted me to share with you this morning in regards to that. And so so the Lord just had me go further into the definition of gluttony. So we understand what it is, right? But in the Latin, gluttony means to gulp down or swallow. So it's rooted in the human desire to fill a deeper internal void with external gratification, rather than just a lack of willpower. It stems from using consumption as a numbing agent, to escape emotional stress. I know I'm tapping on somebody right now when I'm saying this. I'm gonna say it stems from using consumption as a numbing agent to escape emotional distress, relieve boredom, or satisfy psychological and physiological cravings. So that's gluttony. And so when I was reading that, and as I was really preparing for this word, the Lord just would show certain things to me, and to the point where my husband was sending me this sermon entitled "Why Willpower Isn't Enough." Why willpower isn't enough for you to just like, I'm just going to have the will to put this down. I'm just going to have the will to stop this thing that I know for a fact ain't good for me. But willpower isn't enough, because the Holy Spirit is always enough, right? And so we got to call on our God. We got to call on the name of the Lord in all seasons of our life, right? And so furthermore, my friends, I ran across this episode of Strange Addiction, and she said she eats dryer sheets to calm her nerves. And as soon as I heard that, again, this is something random because I don't be following these shows and all of the things that popped up. But again, this is a form of idolizing food or idolizing material things and finding comfort in material things rather than finding comfort in the word of God, or finding comfort in the arms of our heavenly Father. You're finding comfort in the wrong places. And so all of this showed me idolization. Put it down. Whatever you're doing too much of, or the gluttony or overconsumption of, put it down and pick up the word of the Lord. And so as I was being presented with all these things, I just heard God saying, run to me. I need my people to run to me and not to that, whatever that is or whatever it is, but run to God, run to our heavenly Father during times of trouble, during times of turmoil, during times of, God, I don't even know which way you want me to go, but I got to run to you. I can't run to alcohol. I can't run to food. I can't run to whatever material things that some people may be into. I can't run to that. I can't run to, let me always decompress with watching a TV episode or doing all the things. I can't always run to that, but I got to run to the word of the Lord. I have to run to God on all the above. Okay. Run to God on all the above. And so I wrote down this simple prayer, and you already know, if you haven't been following me for some time, I do what is called simple prayers for your career. And one simple prayer I wrote down is, Lord, allow me to be more disciplined in all areas of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? I'm going to say that again. Lord, help me to be more disciplined in all areas of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a simple yet effective prayer, because that means you are inviting God in. You're saying, hey, God, I can't do this by myself. I know there are things that you have called me to do. I know you have want me to operate in excellence and not mediocrity. And in order for me to do that, I got to have more self-discipline. I have to be discipled, literally discipled by you, Lord, and discipled by you to in order to do what you have called me to do. Another simple prayer is just simply, God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. Sometimes we don't even have the words to articulate of what we need help in and all the things, but a simple God, help me. And I guarantee God hears you. God hears you. He hears our humble cries. He hears our humble cries. And I'm not just saying that, but the word says that, and check me on it. But I know for a fact the word says that. Okay. It says that. And so I pray that this message definitely penetrate your heart, and that you will really examine, take some self-inventory and say, God, what things do I need to put down? What is it that is really serving as destruction in this season for me not being able to stay focused in this season, right? And so it could be a number of things for all of us, but definitely do that. And then just simply say, hey, God, help me to be more self-disciplined and help me out in this area. And I believe by faith that God will do just that. All right, y'all, let's get into this good word of prayer. Lord, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your sons and your daughters under the sound of my voice, God. God, I thank you for the love and the compassion and the patience, God, that you show us. Because Lord knows you have been patient with us, Lord, as we go down our paths, as we continue to go and elevate within our career journey, as we elevate within our business journey, as we elevate just in life in general, God, we thank you. God, continue to give us the desires to want to elevate, to want to operate in excellence, God, and not mediocrity, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for displaying, showing us favor as we go down our path, God. God, we thank you for showing us the compassion, God, showing and helping us understand that you are there for us, God, every step of the way, even though we may not feel like it at the time. We know by faith that you are there and you are working it out for our good, God. You are working it out for our good, despite how bad situations may look in our career and our businesses or just life in general. You are working it out for our good. And for that, we just say thank you. God, allow us to not just feel the void of life, void that we may feel in our life with anything else. Have us not fill it with food. Have us not fill it with material possessions or any other resources that we may feel the need. We need to fill the void with. But God, have us to fill the void with you. F-I-L-L. Fill the void with you. Have us to fill the void with you. I keep saying this because I know this is not just for me, but this is for somebody, because you need to fill the void with God instead of filling the void with whatever else, right? Fill the void with God, meaning fill the void with prayer. Fill the void with by reading the word of God. Fill the void by reading the word of God and allowing God to give us a revelation as to how we should move or how we should just act in this season of our life and what we should do in order to execute and what he has for us, and have us to find joy in the Lord. Joy in the Lord, and not joy in nothing else, not joy in material pleasures, not joy in other resources, but not joy in distractions that draws us away from self-discipline, but have us to find joy in you, Lord. Joy in doing and working in excellence, God, for you. For we know when we do work, even for at our jobs, we're not really working. We're not working for these companies or anything, but we're working for you. You are the one that's really watching us and watching over us and really supplying every one of our needs, not these companies we are working for or these things that we're doing in our business. That's not what's supplying every one of your needs, but it is God who supplies every one of our needs. So God, we thank you for being Jehovah Jireh. God, we thank you for holding our hands every step of the way, because Lord knows we need you to hold our hands. We need you to direct every path that you have assigned for us to take. And so God, we thank you. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, and your protection, your divine protection as we go out here, work and do, and ultimately do the works of the Lord, and ultimately be the light that you have called us to be in the workplace. God, shine your light through us. Shine your light through us so that we ultimately draw more people towards you. Not us, Lord. Less of us, more of you. And in Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right, you all, go forth and conquer. Have a wonderful, blessed, and productive day. Enjoy the holiday if you're in the U.S. Enjoy your work day if you don't have the holiday off. But also tomorrow, as you embark on this beautiful week, have a productive work week and reflect on what we just talked about. Okay. All right, y'all. Until next time. Thank you for joining me in the Peculiar Palace for another episode of the Peculiar Career Chit Chat Podcast. I pray this episode empowered and inspired you to go forth and conquer your career journey. So I'll catch you here next time.